Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, I'm back, and I do apologize that we did not have a podcast last week. It has been a January. We'll put I do have Lost Boy Philip here with me. He's eating a banana. I'm just going to let him eat a banana while I jabber on for a second to tell
Hello.
You he is here. But yeah, he just was having a nap, resting up. Preaching and being a pastor is an exhausting job on Sunday, especially. So he did need a break, and so he's sitting there. He's eating a banana. I can see him on my camera. By the way, if you happen to be a Patreon, supporter, there is video that I'm recording of our conversation. We were talking, just jabbering about stuff in front of the recording of the episode, and you will get to see that if you happen to be a Patreon supporter. We also have ways to support us on getting exclusive episodes through our Red Circle. You can sign up to do an exclusive episode, and those are the episodes that I put up there without ads. It's not every episode that we've ever recorded, but anything going forward will be exclusive. So Patreon will have more stuff, but you can also get on there and get exclusive ads without the ads. But, all right, so let me just kind of go over a little bit about what's been going on while we're still jamming to the music. But first let me tell you some of the stuff coming on the show, because we're still jamming to the music here. So coming up, Philip can't hear the music. All right. Well, coming up today on the Fandom Nexus, of course, we're going to have some tribute to the late, great Carl Weathers. Also, yes. I had meant to do last week a review for Masters of the Universe Revolution. We're going to talk to Philip about the new WWE 2K 24 game. Because he pays a lot more attention to that, and there's a lot of exciting stuff going on with that. We do have, of course, speaking of WWE, some news to discuss along with a few other things. I've been kind of looking in on some stuff that's going on with that, and there's some interesting stuff to talk about. I don't like to talk about negative things, but it's just an interesting bit of news. So that's what you got expecting on there. So
WWA is WWE audience.
Yeah, NWA. Okay. But anyway, so all right. So what happened last week and why we didn't have a show? And part of the comedy, as I was supposed to be guesting on Nerds and Jesus with Mary Howell to do a review of the first four episodes of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. We didn't get a chance to record it because I got a phone call right when we were sitting down there that my wife was her car was stranded up in Lathrop. But thankfully, it was at the high school. Now, this has been an ongoing saga, and I may have mentioned before, where even at church one time, her car suddenly just quit working. We got it towed over to a shop. They got it to actually start the whole time and thought, well, we don't see anything wrong with it. So we changed her oil and brought it home. And I said, well, what happens if this happens again when she's up in Lathrop or something by herself and she's far from home and we can't tow it from Lathrop because that's our roadside assistance with State Farm will only go to 10 miles. 10 miles! When I was on Farmers and, Farmers started overcharging, I actually was like halfway to Warrensburg one time when I hit a massive pothole in the middle of the road and it did damage to my car.
Ooh.
And I had to wait there for a long time. And this was after I'd been working on a student film late into the night and I didn't get home. And, I had stuff all day. I'd been trapped in my car all night. I didn't get home until 5 o'clock that Sunday morning. I don't think I showed up for church that day. I think I was dead. But I got towed and roadside. This was a long time ago, too. This is when I was going to college. But roadside assistance took me all that way. But now at State Farm will only take us 10 miles. So up in Lathrop, we're like, well, great. How are we going to get it anywhere? Well, in the process of all this, I had one tire that went completely flat and had to be replaced. And I think I mentioned this probably last podcast. And then the other one had a slow leak going on it. Well, things kind of turned around. But I was really after Monday, because I had planned like last Sunday, I was going to record a podcast. I meant to review Masters of the Universe. I wanted to get Philip on to talk Masters of the Universe because we got to. But the Chiefs managed to win the AFC Championship. And all of you people who are the haters, just go ahead and be haters. We have waited decades to have a team this good to become the villains of the NFL. So we'll take it. Okay. Y'all can hate and say the referees or whatever, or I've seen stuff calling Patrick Mahomes a crybaby because he, like every other player in the NFL, when he doesn't have a call go his way, will look questioningly at the refs like every other player. But when Patrick Mahomes does it, he's a crybaby. But that's because we are the villains and we are that good. But anyways, let me get off of that because I'm still finishing
a certain singer. To quote a certain singer, I don't know what her name is, but haters gonna hate.
No, we don't even quote that singer because we're tired of her. And that's the other thing. We are allowed to not have to, just because she's showing up and, find her and Travis Kelce, that's fine. That doesn't mean we automatically have to become fans. That's another thing I've noticed
is
we're being called toxic for not being fans of Taylor Swift. Like, no, we just don't care. And, we don't. And why are we tired of the whole thing? Because we're constantly hearing about it. And we don't want to constantly hear about it. We don't care. We just like, okay, fine. They're dating. That's nice for them. Good for them. But anyways, you're going to get me off track. But I was after such a game that was an intense game. I was like, okay, I don't know if I have it in me because I have to have the right mindset to do this show because I want it to be good. Right. So I didn't get it done Sunday. Then Monday is when I was supposed to record Nerds and Jesus. And I thought, well, maybe I'll get the Master Universe thing done after I record with Mary Howell, which we didn't get recorded because then I got up right as I'm getting on the online with Mary. Heather calls and she's stuck up in Lathrop because the car has died again. So I have really not been in a mood or been at home to record this show. But now here's how things have turned around. This is my life for you. This is, God doing weird things. And even some stuff we were discussing. God does things in his own time and in his own way. And we were discussing, Heather and I were talking about the Narnia books where in the Prince Caspian, Lucy says to Aslan, it's like, I thought you would become roaring in and frighten all my enemies away just like last time. And Aslan says, I seldom do things the same way twice. And that's how God teaches us to trust him, that even if he doesn't do it the way we expect, he's still working in his best way, which is going to be best for us. But so what had happened? So but in the course of this week, and I was telling my wife, we're just going to have to leave that car there. We can't afford to tow it. We can't afford to fix it. It's just going to stay there. And we have ran after our house payment hit. It ran us negative even this week. It was just everything just went wrong. But as things have turned around. This is where, I can see God is still moving. All right. He's still taking care of me, even when everything falls apart. So Heather's talking to some other teachers during lunch or something about this. And one of them's son is part of like Votech and he works on cars. So he comes out to check the car. And it turns out all that was one terminal on the negative of the battery was loose. And so when you hit like a pothole or it gets shaken up, it comes off. That was all it was. So all we needed was somebody to show up with a wrench and just tighten it down. And it's fine. I kind of want my wife to carry a socket wrench with her just in case it ever happens again so she can tighten
better
it down.
Better have it, not need it, then need it, not have it.
Well, if it turns out that screw is stripped and so it's not tightening properly, that screw is easy to replace. So, but that ended up not costing us anything. A car fixed. Okay, good. My other, I've already paid for one tire, which I had to put on a charge card. So now I've got the other tire that's been going flat slowly. We drop it off to get it. So, well, see if you can patch it. But if I have to, charge it to get a new tire, then I guess so be it. Well, they go and check, and I got in there. And instead of paying $135 for a tire and replacement, they, $30 because, there was a piece of metal lodged in there. We just pulled it out, patched it. You're good. So that's suddenly, okay, well, that's working out. Okay, so well, now we got the problem that I looked at everything. And just from, just how our economy is, and I'm not going to get into it. I was actually talking to a guy at work that, whose fault this is. And we won't get into it here. We know, though. but, just from trying to eat from gas and groceries and regular stuff, we got to where we were going to be just a little short with the house payment when it come out automatically. And it made our account go 97 cents negative. Now, how typically a bank works, we go to a credit union, they will charge you a fee for going under, and I call it poor tax because they're basically charging you for being poor and not being able to have your automatic bills come out. So I chatted with them. I said, does that seem right or fair to you that for 97 cents I get charged $28? And they said, well, no, that doesn't. So here, I'm going to refund that back to you. Thank you. And I said, okay, well, I've got a coin bank at home, and I promise you it's the first chance I get. I'm going to take my coin bank, and I'll deposit all that. Well, so that was on Friday. When all this had went bad, I get my coin bank and I hustle home from work. Thankfully, I didn't have to go pick Heather up from work, which normally I would do because we carpool. She had now had a working car with her, so she was going to drive herself home. Plus, she was going to go donate plasma because she gets paid to donate plasma, and so she's using that for gas money because that's all we have. But I came home and I got my coin bank and I run to Community America and I'm too late for the lobby. But I thought, well, you know what? It used to be through the drive ups, you could make a cash deposit. And I thought, well, maybe I can work something out over here, even though they've changed it where it's an ATM slash a teller that you can remote in. So I go and I talk to the teller there. And I said, is there any way I showed him the thing through the camera? The thing's like, is there any way I can deposit these coins today through this? And he says, well, not through this. I said, well, the problem is that my account is currently negative 97 cents and it's driving me crazy. I'd like to fix that. And he says, well, I see, I don't know how long ago this was, but we did have a $28 fee that had happened, years ago. And he waived another one. So bang, now we have $27.93 in the bank. Like, cool, I have a positive amount. But that also makes me think, so yeah, they know they're robbing you of this money, and your money. And so basically, they can give it back, but they won't do it all the time. So don't go leaning on your bank, y'all.
No, they do. Yeah, that happens to me occasionally.
Yeah. We're not even done with this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So this coin thing, Saturday morning, I make sure I pay attention when this place is opening. The bank's going to open it at pardon me, let me take a drink of my hot cocoa. Warming up the throat. So I bring my coins in, and now in the lobby of Community America, normally I have to hand this thing over to a teller at the lobby, and they run it into the back, and I know these machines are not that accurate when you dump your coins in. I dump my coins in, and I see one coin, a silver coin, is stuck as the thing is spinning it around. And until I've stopped, then that's when it reverses direction. And then it flings it into the stuff to get counted. But I don't know that it actually counted in my total. But I was like, well, I'm not going to worry about it. It did come up with over $50 worth of coin that we had, which I was then able to deposit in the account. So I actually had some money to get some food because we needed just a few things of grocery. I managed to fill my tank up with some gas, although I don't feel that I have enough gas to drive into the office. So I'm going to be remote working all this week. But, it's God showing up. But in small ways where it's just enough for us to get by. But, and I get paid at the end of the week, and we did see, I've got my taxes done. We're going to get a pretty nice refund that'll help take care of some stuff because we're really behind on a lot of bills and a lot of medical expenses. It's just ridiculous. But this is going to be some help. But it's God's given me just enough to get by where I still have to trust and I have to lean on him. And I can't be like super confident that, look, we're just ahead of the game. I have just enough. And I guess that's where I'm learning to have to be accepting of like, okay, I'm not going to go hungry. We have the gas we need to at least get Heather to work and back. I can work remotely, and it works out better work remotely because I can eat what I have here. I don't have to buy extra food to take with me to work or anything. I can work remotely. Although one thing popped up, I noticed there were some updates on my laptop and on the computer here, some security updates with Microsoft. And I was like, well, let me see if I can get to my work computer and go ahead and get those updates done today. I couldn't log into my work computer with the remote thing. Something's gone wrong with the remote, so I'm going to have to get some help with that tomorrow. So I may have problems remoting in to my work computer to do some work tomorrow. But I'm sure God's got this all taken care of. But I mean, I just thought it was an interesting story where it's just, once again, everything hits the fire, but you know, God has shown that he's with me in the fire and he's going to give me just enough to get me through. And I just have to trust and just keep going.
At least you have a job where you can do that though. Work yes. from home, because not every job can.
Right.
And you know, that's a real blessing, because yeah. boy, you know,
they don't like it when I remote this much, but I have to do what I have to do sometimes.
Well, and the fact is, with weather and all that, I'm very blessed yeah. that you can do that. And I do sometimes, too, with pastoring. I study at home. But sometimes I go straight to work because, I mean, to the church. Because I find it's better on the mind, not as many distractions.
Yeah.
And it's just better to be there and get away from the whole world. And there's something about being inside a church alone that just makes you feel so great and you're away from everything in your own little world.
Yeah.
Away from the world. It is beautiful to be there. But sometimes you can't, so you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. You work with how you can. But yeah, so I just basically hopefully that's going to encourage you to people this week when you're struggling through your stuff. God sometimes just gives you just enough to get by to keep you to trust him. And he lets you go through these things every once in a while to, once again, teach you some things and trusting him. And sometimes he lets you sit in that fire a little longer than you want. And frequently he does, I think, let you sit in that fire longer than you want. But he always, you know, and there's something else we were just discussing and we're preparing. Hopefully we're going to get approval for some of our panels at Planet Comic Con. But, you know, heck, Lord of the Rings even came up in Sunday school today. And even the line that Gandalf has, and that's exactly how God works. A wizard is never early, never late, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to. And that's exactly the way God operates. He's never early. He's never late. He shows up right when it's his time. And we were even discussing the story where the guy from the synagogue is coming to Jesus and he's having his big moment of like, I'm risking everything by trying to trust that Jesus can heal my dying daughter. And while he's in a rush yes. and he's kind of in a panic, my daughter's going to die. Jesus stops. Who touched me? And y'all know this story. He stops yeah. to this woman who was healed. He stops to talk to her. And all the while, you know, that father is still there panicking. And then about as soon as Jesus is done speaking to this woman, that's when somebody comes walking up. It's like, don't bother him anymore. Your daughter's dead. And here's the test of the face. Because then Jesus goes and says, like, she's not dead. Trust me.
And
let's go.
With that woman who reached out to touch mm-hmm. him when Jairus was taking him home. Think about this for a second. That woman had been so sick for so long. She was very well.
Yes. Oh, wow.
None of the doctors, she was basically going through a womanly issue for so very long, but she could not be healed. None of the doctors mm-hmm. could help her. But the moment she was out of money, well, we're done. We're done with you. That poor woman has suffered for so long. And now all she had left, no more money, no more yeah. anything. The only thing she could do is have faith in this man who she'd never met, but she'd heard stories.
She'd heard, and there's this big, massive crowd. Yeah.
Yes, and she reached out. I love that. That's the same with so many people. They just reach out. That's what we all have to do, reach out with faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a beautiful truth.
And at the same time, testing the face of Jairus that Jesus is coming. You know he's coming, but he's not going to arrive mm-hmm. early, and he's not going to be late, even though he seems
that's
late,
right.
because your daughter, everybody's telling you she's dead, and Jesus says, no, she's just asleep.
Same thing we do with our prayers. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we say, when God says yes, no, or wait, like wait, yeah. I've
wait.
Been waiting.
It's like, I can't wait. This is a desperate situation. It's all going to come apart. And you know God's going to come through for you, but it's the when. And you think he should have come through. He should have already come through now. Why didn't he come now? What, you know, what's going to happen? You know, this, I needed this now, but God is doing it in his own way and it's all going to work out.
I think about when I was a little kid, a lot of times I say to my mom and dad, I need now. And it's like, stop. And because it does seem at that moment, it does seem like you really can't wait. But a lot of that's in your own mind, in your own lack of experience, in your emotions.
And your own desperation and your own panic.
Yeah. And Father God says, hold up, son. Slow down. You're okay.
Yeah.
You just don't know yet. It's all right, but he knows everything. I do it all the time. Still, like, I don't know. Yeah. God, I don't know, but I know God, and God knows.
Yeah. And there's two songs from the Supertones that come into my head, from old songs from the Supertones. One called "The Wilderness." It's like, how, do you really want? Do you ever? Oh my gosh! If you ever want to know what this life was all about, you know. But you know, for what should I hope for, and what should I pray? How do I know if anything's real? I'm somewhere in between Canaan and Egypt, a place called the wilderness. Ooh, and it's a part in life when we get, you know, where all the day. And then they have another song. It's like, God, you know, I'm just a man, but you tell me I'm not just a man. So hard to understand. After all, I'm just a man. God, you tell me not to doubt, but I'm always plagued by doubt, and you always help me out. I am so ashamed. It's like those lines always jump in my head. It's like that is our human experience and stuff like that.
But, man, let go, let God. That's great.
And it's hard to let it go. Let it go. We are not Elsa.
Oh, yeah.
We are not Elsa. Exactly. It is hard to just let go, let God. There's a lot of stuff we say. We have all this head knowledge, but another line, even from the Left Behind books, they say, head knowledge, heart knowledge, big difference.
I was thinking just this morning when they were talking about that faith, I was thinking about all these little videos they show of these cute little bitty kids, and I mean little bitty adorables, walking, probably one or two, and they just learn to walk, some of them, and they're walking on these like clear floors or little bridges, and now all of a sudden underneath them looks like there's nothing, and they're supposed to be walking on, and they're like, they're crying sometimes, but they're reaching out like, but there's something wrong, this doesn't look right, because it doesn't look solid, you know. And I'll admit to them, and it seems logical to them, wait a minute, there's nothing here, and it doesn't seem like there's something to hold them up. And they're scaring them, and yeah. I can understand that. I'll be honest, as a big guy, and I'm big. As a big guy, not everything seems solid for me, and I have to be very careful on the chairs I sit in, on the stuff I wear, the stuff I do. And that's the way I feel walking on stuff, especially if I go on something clear like that.
Oh,
so that's the way that the we have to remember that even when it seems like there's nothing underneath us, God is our walk. He's a solid. He has us all the time in His hands. Mm-hmm.
And that reminds me of something. All right, I got one more quick story, then we'll actually get on the regular show and move past the host chatter stuff. So at one point, I needed to leave from work, take the work vehicle out from a garage just in kind of a lower area at KQ2. There's like its gravel area, and I needed to get our work vehicle out for creative services because I had to go away to go film at a location. There's a store that's got a new location, and I was supposed to go film it or whatever that day. Well, I walk down to the gravel area where the garage is. I was on like a lower level of the building, and I see this big hole in the ground. It's like a sinkhole in the gravel. And you look, all you can see is blackness in this hole. And you see the edge of the gravel is just like this thin layer of rock. And I'm like very carefully trying to back the car out and make sure I don't go anywhere near this hole and going around. And I went in and I told some of our people, like, hey, did y'all know that there's a big hole out there in the gravel? And they went and they've put cones around there. And I mean, this is the possibilities they're saying we did have some sort of water line leak or something. We're wondering if that eroded or this used to be farmland that, you know, that all this is built on. So maybe there was an old septic tank there. We don't know. Like there's this thin lane, and all this time we could have fallen through not knowing what we were walking on and having heavy cars drive over this, and it did not fall. But suddenly now, because of probably weather and stuff like that, it's now this hole has revealed itself. But now we got to be careful, like not stepping in or anywhere near it, because we don't know when it could fall. Yes. It's just amazing how stuff happens. But anyways, all right. So this actually falls into almost like another story for this week. But this, I think, fits more appropriately with this show. So most of you, I'm sure, realize that Groundhog Day was on Friday. Right?
Groundhog Day!
So while I was working, I kept seeing, and I could tell, I was like, well, this looks like the same ad, but it's not the same ad. But it had Stephen Tobolowsky, I think I've said it right, showing up with like bags of potato chips in this grocery store setting. And it seemed like every time I didn't have the sound on any of the monitors, but it was something showing on our channel as I was going, you know, getting stuff out of the refrigerator. But I kept seeing it. They were popping up all day on Groundhog's Day on probably a lot of television stations. And there was definitely a joke. And I said, there has to be a reason this keeps happening repeatedly with him. Ned the nose, Ned the needle, you know, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, Ned needle. Yeah.
There has to be a reason for it. Well, Ryan Reynolds on his own YouTube channel thankfully shared what he calls Happy Groundhog Lays. And it's got a collection of these ads. Now, you got to listen to these.
I see. It's great.
Yeah. Here we go again.
Trouble?
Oh, the store just won't close.
Ooh, looky who's got Lay's. Man, those perfectly seasoned little slices of sunshine sure do keep me coming back.
You said it.
And I'll say it again.
Okay, now the caption line, Lay's flavors for days. So their goal is to show you all their different flavors. So now here we go again, same shot. He walks up front of the grocery store to the cashier.
Here we go again.
Trouble?
Oh, the store just won't close.
Ooh, looky who's got Lay's. Man, those little Lay's barbecuties do keep me coming back.
You said that already.
And I'll say it again.
Sure, why not?
Here we go again.
What?
Oh, the store just won't close.
Ooh, looky who's got Lay's. Man, those Lay's sour cream and yum-yums just keep me coming back.
You keep saying that.
And I'll say it again.
See how his laughter turns nervous? But it's like everyone, he's got a different type of Lay's.
Here we go again.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the store just won't close.
Mm. Ooh, looky who's got Lay's.
Looky who indeed.
Man, those Lay's cheddar and sour cream snacks just keep me coming back.
You said it, and I bet
and
you'll
I'll say it again. Oh. You okay? Here we go again.
Oh, the store just won't close.
Ooh, looky who's got Lay's.
Brilliant.
Man, those delicious Lay's dill pickles just keep me coming back. I said those delicious Lay's dill pickles just keep me coming back. Delicious.
So there's the depression cycle. See?
Here we go again.
This store just won't close.
Ooh, looky who's got Lay's. Man, those tart little lazily moans just keep me coming back.
You said it,
and I'll say it again.
And it keeps going.
Here we go again.
Drawers are tricky, aren't they?
Oh, the store just won't close.
Ooh, looky who's got Lay's.
I just got these for you because I know how much you love them.
You're right. These Lay's chili limon sweet and spicy snacks just keep me coming back.
And I'll be back. Because I'm never going to get out of here.
Here we go again. The store just won't close. Ooh, looky who's got Lay's.
Are we in hell?
Security! Spicy customer with the Lay's flaming hot, registered too.
Let me out of here.
Do you know how many Lay's flavors there are?
No.
You're never getting out of here. We haven't even gotten to the Lay's veggie poppables yet.
Ooh, they make veggie poppables?
So did he ever get out of the same day where he was getting a different package of Lay's every day? I don't know. But then, you know, they did it on purpose, getting him to do that because everybody's going to figure it out what they're doing. They're making the Groundhog Day joke. But what a perfect ad campaign.
I love it.
And I really want some Lay's potato chips now, especially I saw that they do have the cheddar cream or cheddar sour cream ones. Those are sour cream and cheddar. Yeah, sour cream and cheddar, which are like my favorite chips other than sour cream and onion. So, well done, Lay's. Well done, Lay's. And now that we finally got through all of that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
The character's name is Ned Ryerson.
Ned Ryerson, yes.
Ned Ryerson!
Ned! You don't know his Ryerson! Bing!
Come on, buddy! Pace Western High! I dated your sister Hattie a couple times until you told me not to anymore. But I watched that 4 times this week because I drew pictures of my favorite parts of that movie.
But anyways, you are at least hearing what's going on the computer because, I don't think there's video on this one. Yeah. This is something. Y'all remember Lost Boy Jesse from like way back, like season 1, season 2, early mm-hmm. days of Neverland podcast. He sent me this. It says, meet the cast of Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart story. Jerry Seinfeld is starring, writing, and directing a film about the Pop-Tart.
Yay!
Yes, you read that right. This is on Tudum by Netflix. So Netflix, I guess, has a website. It's netflix.com/Tudum, T-U-D-U-M. And let me just read a little bit of this. It's like Jerry Seinfeld has been thinking about the Pop-Tart for a long time. And I thought I heard something about this a long time ago. As far back as the Late Show appearance in 2010, Seinfeld has been stewing on the rectangular Kellogg snack. At one point, I was thinking about an invention of the Pop-Tart movie. He tweeted back in 2018. Imagine the drunk on sugar power Kellogg cereal culture of the mid-60s in Battle Creek, Michigan. That's a vibe I could work with. And with Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart story, he's now sharing that vibe with the world. So yes, a Pop-Tart movie from Jerry Seinfeld is coming.
Jerry is a cereal fanatic. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was already a cereal fanatic, but Jerry made my cereal fanaticism even more fantastic than it already was. That was Jerry Seinfeld did that for me.
That and of course the mutual love of Superman.
He and I. But here's the truth. In his show, if you look in the background, they always had cereal boxes all over the place in the back on the wall. And this is the truth. It was real. There was real boxes. Nobody asked him to do that, by the way. They did that because he loved cereal. He would eat cereal all the time growing up. And those were real boxes of cereal that the cast would eat while they're sitting around.
Yeah, because they would sometimes. I think bits I've seen, they pull out a box and they start just munching on Cheerios or whatever.
Yeah. It show them on the stage. They're sometimes just eating, just having a good time eating. So it was real. That's why they've changed them out, because Kellogg's didn't do that. Posted it, because you can see there's posters, General Mills, there's Kellogg's, there's whoever, Quaker. And just whatever he was in the mood for, he would do it.
And yeah, we ate cereal as a kid and we're still eating it. All right.
So I got a whole bunch now.
Here's something you didn't expect. So after Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Jim Carrey was saying he was going to retire.
Yeah.
Well, here it is in Variety. Jim Carrey returning for Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Good.
He says he's reprising his role as the mad scientist with the formidable facial hair in Sonic 3. The news comes despite the fact that, and here there will be spoilers. All right, if you didn't see the second movie. All right, the second film in the series ended with Dr. Robotnik falling from a giant robot to the ground below and potentially fatal tumble. In the film's post-credit scene, however, it is revealed that Dr. Robotnik's body has not been found, setting the stage for Sonic's main antagonist to make a dramatic return. They also did tease Shadow the Hedgehog there. So I thought, we're done with Dr. Robotnik or Eggman, and we're going to move on with Shadow to be a villain for a third one. But I guess they have some room for Jim Carrey to come back and play that character once again, in which, you know what? I'm down with that. I've really enjoyed those Sonic movies. So now,
and I thought he was more like that character in the second one. That's one thing I liked about
him. Yeah, he grew into being the Dr. Robotnik that we know from the games. But since we're having some success now with Sonic movies and Super Mario movies, when do we get that crossover? You know how much fun that would be.
Now, this is just because I'm a nerd and my initials spell it out, but boy, if you could do that, make me a really fun Pac-Man movie. That'd be a blast.
Yes, please. Come on, Namco, get in there. Fun. Namco's got a lot of old great characters that they could bring up, you know.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Donkey Kong already, so.
Yeah, and
let's
get
this going.
Namco owns Tekken. Apparently, they tried to make movies off of Tekken, but they didn't do it right. But, you know, Pac-Man would be great.
Yeah.
Okay, now, ready for us to talk some controversy?
Let's do it.
Okay, so this is from Bleacher Report. Why Cody Rhodes will be just fine after giving WWE WrestleMania 40 match to The Rock. So, all right, where this all comes down is, and you and I were watching the Royal Rumble, and we predicted both winners of the Royal Rumbles. But Cody needed to, you know, it was a big buildup last year when Cody Rhodes came back to WWE. He got hurt, unfortunately, came back from the injury to win the Royal Rumble. And then the buildup was finish the story. They made that as a big thing. Finish the story of coming, defeating Roman Reigns and getting the championship. And yes, you were about to say it's a big thing of the game. They've made it a thing.
The WWE 2K24 game. That's the story.
Then that was part of the problem is they've built it up. And even in the game, and then all of a sudden on SmackDown, The Rock comes out. And I have not watched the clip because I don't want to, but it's getting more dislikes than any WWE video has ever gotten.
Well, just before you call, just before you called a while ago, I watched it again just to see what I missed, because I watched it yesterday morning. See, I always watch the things the morning after it happens because I get it on Hulu, so I had to wait till the next morning. So I watched it thinking maybe I missed something because I wasn't upset like everyone else, because for some reason, when I was watching it, I was under the assumption that what he meant when he said this the other day, he was saying instead of doing it at WrestleMania, he could do it another time. I, for some reason, misheard it and was thinking he was saying that he would maybe do it at Elimination Chamber, and then Rock would fight Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. So I wasn't upset. And then the more I thought about it, I watched it again. He doesn't say that.
Yeah.
So maybe they were saying SummerSlam, but in reality, maybe they're just playing this. Maybe it's a story and they'll bring more people in on Raw and the SmackDown, but it's kind of had a negative effect.
Yeah. Well, they can change course, which is a part of what they did. I mean, they did have to change course because CM Punk is legit hurt.
Yes.
So they need to make some changes because they were going to have a match with him and Seth Rollins, but now they wanted to have a match with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. But see, Cody, with the Royal Rumble, you're supposed to be able to pick your WrestleMania match, and this was our chance to see him finally win that title away from Roman Reigns, which he would have won, but Roman Reigns, of course, at the time, because he's a bad guy, he is supposed to be able to cheat to win, and he did. He cheated to keep his title at WrestleMania.
As It's all he's ever done.
So let me go ahead and read a little bit of what's on Bleacher Report.
We know it's a story. We know that. We know it's a story.
But it's bad storytelling when you. I mean, they didn't learn this with Daniel Bryan when they had such a buildup for him and the fans were really behind him. They wanted him to win the Royal Rumble and get a shot at the title. You got to sometimes, especially dealing with wrestling, you have to listen to the fans and give them what they want because they won't be disappointed in it. But if you go off course and give them something they don't want. So, I mean, this is how, and everybody loves Dave Bautista, but you brought him in to win the Royal Rumble when Daniel Bryan should have won it, and he's getting booed and yelled at, and Bautista starts getting mad and cussing at the audience. It went bad.
Oh, big mistake.
CM Punk, knowing this was bad, that's why 10 years ago he left right after. Mm-hmm. He's like, I can't believe what you guys just did. It was stupid. So they didn't learn their lesson. Here it is 10 years later, CM Punk just comes back, and they did the whole thing again. Now, let me read you a little bit of this article on Bleacher Report. Said the post-Royal Rumble fallout involving Seth Rollins almost made it feel like WWE was hedging its bets a bit, seeing who and what might be available and why. Plans always change, right? Sure, one could hand-wave the recent Rhodes-Rollins interactions. Reigns isn't available weekly, and hey, why not pop a big television rating while playing the which match will Rhodes pick game? Because Roman Reigns is not in there every week. He's almost become a Brock Lesnar, apparently, where he can just show up and have a match at a pay-per-view but doesn't have to do anything else.
It's annoying.
Yeah, it is annoying as heck. But that's both lazy and dismissive of just how entertaining the whole thing is. Rollins positioning his title as Dusty's belt, the personification of it, and not Reigns' undisputed title is pretty compelling storytelling. Rhodes is receptive of the idea, if nothing else, for a reason. If and when Rhodes officially challenges Rollins and takes control of his own narrative and story, essentially choosing his own ending, will fans have a big issue with it? So they're saying, well, this could actually be a good thing for Rhodes because you can make this personal issue with him and Rollins. But, okay, it's still not going to be the same as going for the Universal Undisputed Championship with Roman Reigns, who's held that title for years now, to have Cody finally get it because he's never gotten to be a champion WWE like this.
And that was the belt his dad didn't get a chance to have either. Yeah. That was the big issue.
That was the big thing.
When they first started doing it.
It was really taking, because whatever Rollins is like, I can call this your dad's belt. I'm like, no, that's not the same. So, no. I mean, but they're saying, they're trying to find positives. I'll grant them that. But now the talk is that, okay, so The Rock has become an executive with TKO. He's a board member. And now it says, all right, this is off of Forbes, a business thing.
Yeah.
So The Rock's unintentional heel turn has gone from bad to worse. The newly appointed TKO board member wasted no time flexing his muscles, both figuratively and literally, by bigfooting Cody Rhodes and inserting himself into the main event. Reports on the matter suggested The Rock pushed to main event WrestleMania 40 to quote unquote save WrestleMania with CM Punk out with injury and Lesnar pulled from the card due to his connection with the Vince McMahon lawsuit, which we don't need to get into that right now. So he's saving WrestleMania and put himself into the main event. And people were saying, well, hey, that's kind of like what Hogan would do sometimes to put himself into stuff, but this is worse. So, and The Rock has been trying to tweet out stuff.
Huh?
Yeah, Hulk wasn't in charge, but Hulk had a lot of sway. We know that, and a lot of stuff even in WCW.
Yeah, exactly.
But Rock is now an executive and has that power to do that, and he puts his foot down and says, no, I'm going to main event because I have to save it. He didn't need to come in and save it. We had a great main event. It was already there. If he wants a match with Roman Reigns, because we'd like to see it, he should have been Elimination Chamber. Or you and I were even talking, if they set it up in WrestleMania, they can still save this as maybe a triple threat match, do it in a Hell in a Cell, and have when Solo tries to interfere, that The Rock fights off Solo and giving Cody the chance to win the belt from Roman Reigns. Something like that would actually be good. So, I mean, they have a chance to kind of steer the ship. If they're paying attention to the fans right now, they're going to steer the ship and correct this and write this and put Cody where he needs to be, and Seth Rollins can have a different opponent. And I bet you can find lots of good opponents for Seth Rollins. So,
One of them in particular is a Knight.
LA Knight. Yeah, buddy. LA that would
Knight.
Be a good match. Yes.
He's so overly popular right now. Mm-hmm. Or what's his name? The other guy that was with him and Seth Rollins recently. I can't think of his name right now. All of a sudden, Styles.
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles. Yeah.
Yep.
He's really great.
And what they're learning is over the weekend is just how over Cody is. I mean, there's been hashtags trending all weekend of hashtag, you know, we want Cody, justice for Cody, and whoa movement. I've seen footage of a house show from Saturday. Cody had been out there in a match, and the crowd was just wild for him. And the headline that somebody had used was that Cody Rhodes was apologizing to fans. But the whole story is Cody, you know, there's a broken table in the ring, and Cody picked up a piece of it and says, I'm going to sign this for one of you. I'm going to stay here as long as I can and sign as much as I can. And his apology was that he couldn't sign something for everybody. Because he knows he's everybody like would want it. He is so over right like now. Now is the time.
He's like the Ric Flair. And I'm combining him. He's the Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Hulk Hogan of 2024.
Yeah.
You guys don't understand. I'm not mocking. Dusty Rhodes. Listen, I have a fave five. My fave five of all time is Hulk Hogan, Randy Macho Man Savage, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, and Andre the Giant. Always will be. Dusty Rhodes is one of my all-time favorites. I didn't even know. I knew the name Dusty Rhodes, but when I was a little kid and he came over in 1989 to WWF, he took the plate for me. I didn't know that he was Hulk Hogan's hero. He was the one that got Hulk Hogan into it, and he loved him. And I mean, whenever Dusty came, there's something about the man, and he said there's something about him having a fat butt. Now, this is Dusty Rhodes, not mine. He said, I got a big butt. He goes, I got a big belly. He goes, sometimes my butt too big. And I loved him because he's like us. He's like all of us.
Yeah.
And he talks about his
fault. He's just a working man.
I'm just a humble son of a plumber. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love the new entrance that they have for Cody. He's just a son of a plumber.
Yes.
And I love that.
And that's
I love Cody. He's my honorary brother.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing is, I mean, they tried to disrespect Dusty when he came over and they put him in the polka dots, and Dusty just made the polka dots work. They kind of took Dustin and they turned him into gold dust, which was not, I mean, he made it work, but it was a weird, creepy thing. And then Cody, they gave him some oddball characters. They kind of sideline and Rock. I've seen stuff where people are saying that the Rock has been calling Cody a mid card. And that's it's like they tried to hold the Rhodes boys back, and they even give him that weird star something character before Cody finally just left. Stardust. Yeah. And he went for it. Cody has paid his dues. He's been all in. He did what was asked for him, but he went over to AEW. He was allowed to do his own stuff creatively, he ruled the place in AEW. And then he came back and everybody went crazy.
He's the one who made AEW.
Yes.
Really. He was the founder in a sense.
He knows this business.
He's the one.
Yes.
Cause you can hear it if you listen. You hear a little bit of that lisp. That's just the family.
Yes.
He is an all time great. And I'm not just saying it because I love him. And I do love him. Mm-hmm. I love him very much. But he has all heart like his dad.
Yep.
And by the way, his brother, I love Dustin. Dustin is all heart.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. I love him. And but to me, when you love a wrestler, it's not just the character they play. But when the character they play has a lot of character and heart and the real person, it means all the much more to them. It's the way I feel about actors. I can like actors, but if I don't agree with them, whether it be politically or anything else, and they find out they're a real jerk, I can like the characters they play and I think they're a good actor, but I don't care as much about them. But if you find out that they're a really great person, it makes you love them all the more.
So like,
I can't help it.
It was a CJ Stroud, that quarterback. He's a great quarterback. He was playing the Pro Bowl today. Yeah. He doesn't play for us, but him standing up for Jesus and everything. I love that guy. Kirk Cousins up there in Minnesota. I love him too.
And they edited it. That made me so mad.
When he got, I was glad I got to see it live. But that's, the character of people who they are is makes you love who they are. And some wrestlers, the character of who they are, even Cody has shown his true character by, just keeping up there. And he has paid his dues for a very long time.
His wife is awesome,
too. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. His wife is gorgeous. She's a cutie pie. So,
yeah, she is. She is. And I love his daughter. You've seen the pictures of his
daughter? I haven't seen their daughter. Oh, goodness. I bet she's a little cutie pie, too.
So cute. She's so cute. The picture of him holding her it stole my heart. It's so sweet.
But to have him come back from injury that would tearing his bicep or not bicep, but that muscle there. Oh, the chest muscle, to come back last year was the time to do it. But when they didn't do it, they could make up for it this year. And I figure there's still time, like I said, to right the ship and get this on track. Before WrestleMania happens in a couple of months, they have time and hopefully they pay attention to listen to the fans. So, but I forgot we'll wrap this
move. go back 2 years ago when Cody and Seth had their match. It was the Elimination Chamber.
Mm.
And it looked so sore. His tricep or whatever it was.
Pectoral it looked so muscle. Sore. Pectoral. That's what it
pectoral
is.
Pectoral muscle. And Seth was wearing the polka dot outfit, kind of mocking his dad. But because he's trying to be a heel, but he was such a kind of an affable, even though I don't really like Seth's character. I like the guy. But his character is obnoxious to me.
Yeah.
But he was kind of an affable villain, and it kind of became a good guy, kind of accidental, I think. But he was, you could tell he was trying to be careful because he's already hurt and he didn't want him to be hurt anymore. But he's trying to be real careful. And I'm like, that's a good thing to see that they're trying to take care of their own. You know, that's a good thing. But man, that was a good match. That was a real good match.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But
it
see we
talk good of worker. Go ahead.
We've already hit the 45 minute mark and I got a lot to go. So we're going to go to the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him off. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
I'm reversing the orders of the trailers of when I was going to play them because I want to play this one first. This one's going to get me in trouble because of the music.
Hello, everybody.
Drew, what's up?
Wait a minute. Three girls, one wife. Something is missing.
This guy.
Oh, there's my boy. I know you love your dada. Go on, say it. Dada. Dada.
Yes, of course he loves you. He just doesn't show it on his face. Or with his body language. Right, Gru Jr., come on.
Gru, I need a word with you. Your family's lives are at stake.
What?
Maxim Lamal has escaped from prison.
I'm coming for my revenge, Gru.
We have to get to the safe house.
It has a vending machine!
I love this place!
Oh, no, no. Look up.
Ouch, no!
The most important part of a heist is being aware of potential dangers. I tricked myself! No! What?
Coming out!
Intruders!
Thanks, Ron.
Fire in the balls!
Okay, so that's Despicable Me 4. I've only seen the first Despicable Me. I tried to watch the Minions movie. I couldn't get into it. The Minions are what made the first one even fun to watch, because otherwise it was an okay story. But these things just keep going. But I wonder how tired the world is of Minions right now. I don't know. I know I'm tired of the Minions. They're up in every meme and everywhere. I got bored with Minions. But here we go again.
I got a little tired of them, but you know.
There's still probably kid, you know, at least it's something you can take the kids to. It's something for the whole family.
Yeah,
so
good.
I'm not that interested, although I might like the second one if I ever got a chance to watch it. I heard the third one really wasn't that good. Minions, I didn't enjoy the first one. I have not watched any of the other Minions movies, but they just keep going. And I guess if they make money, they'll keep making them. So there you go. But what I am excited about, heck yeah, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
I've been waiting 40 years for this. They called themselves Ghostbusters. According to these hacks, they saved the world. No eyewitnesses. And who is found to carry the torch? Descendants of Egon Spengler. You have a miner hanging out the side of a moving vehicle. firing a laser gun indiscriminately.
It has a proton pack.
It's completely safe.
I wouldn't say completely safe.
The Ghostbusters are finished.
Right. Well, overruled.
Sustained.
Thank you.
You the weird guy who buys strange old things?
Correct on both counts.
Buddy, you just hit the jackpot.
What is it?
Better question is, what's inside of it?
The parables tell of an unimaginable evil commanding an army of ghosts.
With the power to kill by fear itself.
Like, literally scared to death?
We might be looking at a second Ice Age.
We're gonna need all the help we can get.
Let's get to work.
Can I be of any help?
Melnitz in uniform!
Yes!
If there's something strange, if there's something weird, who are people gonna call?
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
We're the Ghostbusters. Can I tell you something else?
What?
Buster makes me feel good.
It makes me feel good.
Heads up. It's all dark and horny at 12 o'clock.
March 22nd. Now, is this the first time you got to see this? This is the first time you've seen this trailer?
I saw other previews, but this is the first time I saw that full one there.
Yeah, because we've had little teasers, but this is the first full trailer we've gotten. And oh my goodness.
I'm so excited because several things. First of all, I love seeing Peck on there.
Yes. And, William Atherton back again as well. Walter Peck.
Peck. Well,
and I don't know if he's the judge or the mayor. I kind of wonder.
it's great, man. And it's so good because he's still with us and he's a great actor.
Yeah.
But I also love, they hinted that Peter, or excuse me, Bill Murray wouldn't return after that last one. But I love as he's older, he's chilled out so much lately in this. He's chilled out so much that it's great to see that he's back because I wasn't expecting that when I first heard about it like years ago. They talked about they could make spinoff movies. I wasn't expecting to see Peter Venkman back. So that's great.
Yes.
You know, that's great.
We got all the fun.
Because Dan Aykroyd's kind of goofy and he's fun that way, you know, and goofy with the other stuff. But, you know, I love him. And I'm so thrilled. I did see they got action figures that are coming out that are meant to... Okay, you know how they made the action figures of the movie guys to look a lot like the old animated style? They now have figures to look like... They did this last time, too. I didn't receive them. They're meant to look like the last film characters to look like
Afterlife,
that. But they now have... Yeah, the Afterlife. I couldn't remember the name of it. They now have ones of this movie to look like that. So... I don't know if they're making them to look older, but they definitely have ones of the new characters to look like that style figure. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yep. There's just two things that I have to bring up other than the fact that I'm super excited.
Well, I love Slimer.
Seeing the librarian ghost is cool, but what's sad for me there is, okay, so the video game, the 2009 video game written by Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd, you got to go back to and bust the librarian ghost. And we considered that to be canon. Uh-huh. That was our Ghostbusters 3. But I guess they've now thrown that out of the window because we see the librarian ghost is loose. I hope maybe some way they still acknowledge that maybe the events of that game happened because, I mean, being written by the same people, it was like having our third Ghostbusters movie then. So we'll see.
We can have all of it, you know?
Yeah. And the other thing is, well, I guess I got three things. People have been like saying, you know, they've developed a new term. Have you heard the term member berries? A member berry you remember this. It's like a berry on the tree. You remember this? And they try to get it in there. But when done right, they work great. Like having Janine on the phone, you know, Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Yes.
And having William Atherton back as Walter Peck again, you know, it is, those would be considered member berries, but those are the best kind of member berries, in my opinion.
And now this is just for us ridiculous fans who watch the cartoon and all,
mm-hmm.
but I still have the action figures from Janine way back
uniform?
When yeah, pink uniform.
Yes.
You remember, I don't remember if it was the first one they did of her in the uniform. Maybe it was the second one, but they had it where her hair would come up and her eyes would pop out.
So it should be like the scare feature ones, which I think.
Yeah, and they also had a feature where, and maybe that was the second one, but they also had one where they had it to where another kind of feature, and I don't know if they call it spin or scare or whatever, because they all had these weird fright this and that, but they had one where you push a button and they'd all spin, wah, and do all these things. They had one of her with a little bit of longer hair, and she kind of spin it, because at one point they decided to make her, I guess, prettier. On like season 3 or 4 of the cartoon. Yeah.
Well, they gave her the nice long hair and everything. And they were trying to reflect like a little bit more her look in what would eventually be in Ghostbusters 2, where she was a bit more made up. And because like the first one, she's just no makeup, just really short hair and just, you know, almost kind grumpy.
Up, yeah.
So they gave her more personality in the second movie.
Almost Egon-ish.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to pass her off as Egon's girl. And then when part 2 came out of Ghostbusters, she became, what's his name's girl?
Lewis Tully.
In fact, they put Lewis in the cartoon even.
Yep. When they did Slimer in the real Ghostbusters, which, you know, this makes me wonder, wouldn't it be fun if they've been secretly hiding that Rick Moranis came back to pop, maybe even just a cameo?
Because
with
God
Janine around,
would.
Wouldn't you like to see that her and Lewis, I can't remember if in Afterlife, I'm going to have to watch it again, if she mentioned like her and Lewis maybe did get married or something.
I know they mentioned kind of a hint that something may have happened between her and Egon at some point, but they never said for certain.
Yeah. Egon did get married, apparently. So
yes. I would love if just for a split second, Rick Moranis would, even if it was just at the end of the movie.
And even make Oscar should be an adult now.
Yeah. Oh,
like
yeah.
Like in his 30s. Like a 30-something-year-old Oscar comes along and helps out.
That would be a blast.
That would be so great. There's so much potential stuff that could happen in here that I hope they keep it a secret until we see it. And then we get surprised. Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
because
maybe Sigourney Weaver is going to make a surprise pop up because, you know, her and Venkman, you know, so.
And it's a shame. This is the character that I really want to see. And it's a shame he can't do it. But I wish to God that we could see. What was the name of that rapper who did the second movie? What was his name?
Oh,
he was married to.
Well, Bobby Brown. Who did the
Bobby
song?
Brown.
He made a little cameo. Yep. Hey, can I get my going the proton packs? My kid brother really wants one.
Yeah, those things shouldn't all be played with. I guess you're right.
Yeah, those things—they're really not a toy. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, Bobby Brown. If we could only get Bobby Brown back from the dead again.
he had, I think, a lot of criminal issues
sadly,
or whatever. Let's not.
Wife at the time, yeah.
Yeah, let's not and say we didn't. So, but yeah, super excited for that one. But now,
me too. I'm excited.
I'm trying to keep the show to an hour, but I think we're going to go at least an hour and a half because we haven't even gotten to our meat of the stuff. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hit this button, even if this wasn't a movie.
Want to see a movie?
Yeah. Any good?
It was bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good, bad thing.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
I like it a lot.
The best movie ever made.
A Fandom Nexus movie review.
Okay, and this wasn't really a movie. This was a Netflix series, Masters of the Universe Revolution. And oh my goodness. And the one thing I thought was kind of odd is I don't know how they couldn't get Sarah Michelle Gellar to come back as Teela, but we got Melissa, and I don't know if it's Benoit or Benoist or whatever, Supergirl. She got to be Teela this time, and she did a fine job. I think everybody in the cast was good.
Yeah,
but
she did great.
Especially, I got to give credit to this Ted Baiselli, who played Gwildor, because holy cow, Ghost of Billy Barty.
Oh, man, he sounded straight on. Yeah, I wondered who did the voice, but he was spot on almost.
Oh, I love this cast.
I wish he would go to Disney and do, they'd have him
be Figment.
He'd be perfect.
He'd be a great Figment. You are not wrong. But I love some of the other different bits of casting, like Meg Foster, the original Evelyn from the Masters of the Universe film, was Motherboard in here.
That was great.
Gates McFadden. I don't remember if she was Queen Marlena in the original series, but Gates McFadden as Queen Marlena which of course, if you didn't get enough Star Trek out of that, William Shatner as Keldor, and even John DeLancey as Grandimir, which seeing Grandimir pop up, oh my goodness.
How did I not know that Captain Kirk was going to be in this cartoon? But the moment I heard him talk, and by the way, I knew who Keldor was. I won't say
Keldor. Yeah, someone doesn't know yet, I think most of us fans knew who Keldor is.
I knew Keldor. I mean, I have a toy of him.
Yeah.
Since I was young, I've known, you know. But here's the thing. As soon as I heard his voice, it's like, oh! I got to meet William Shatner a couple times now, and I love Captain Kirk. I love him. He's always been my captain. And yes, I call him Captain Kirk. Yeah. I love Captain Kirk. I love him. But he was so good in that. He played that arrogant. And I loved how you got Captain Kirk and you have Luke Skywalker in there as Skeletor.
Both Skeletor.
The heroes of Star Wars.
Which I hope we didn't spoil anything.
As Skeletor. Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful.
It was beautiful. And speaking of some people who I did enjoy Revelation, and I'll admit there was a few, you know, few flaws, and maybe they could have done some things differently. This was, I think, better than Revelation. I have to agree with all the people who didn't like Revelation, but then enjoyed Revolution. This was better, and I think it gave a better balance to all of the characters of Master of the Universe to tell a good balanced story. But you had a little bit more of Adam's story of him having to deal with stuff. And also, you know, Keldor to Skeletor story. They did a slightly different take on it. Instead of Keldor losing his face by trying to steal the secrets, and he throws acid at Randor, and Randor blocks it with a shield, and it reflects back onto his face, as was seen in the 2003 series. We got like a slightly different take, that taking the Havoc stack melted his face off when he was trying to learn from Hordak. But having Hordak, Keith David, that I'm a good lord, you know, and he even snorted a few times. But Keith David, he's just awesome every time he voices something. Anyway,
every time I've seen him be a voice of a villain, he just takes it on. I mean, and he always loves so much. He did a voice in a Disney cartoon,
and Princess and the Frog.
And he was so much fun when they were showing him record. He was singing the
shaking
song.
Old Sinner's hand.
That was the best part of that movie.
Yeah,
he was so amazing.
He is awesome. He is great in everything. And I remember the first thing I saw him in was this movie. I think it was called Men at Work with Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen as garbage men. And he was like their supervisor.
Yes, he's great.
And then I think the next thing I saw him in was Spawn. The animated Spawn. He was a very good Spawn. As a family show, we can't recommend the Spawn animated series that's on Max right now, because holy cannoli, is it violent and lots of nudity? But he made a good Spawn.
I've never seen it all. I just seen bits of it, but I know his voice.
I think
anyway.
I saw most of the series back in the day. I watched it and everything, but now as I've gotten older, I've gotten a bit more focused on like what I actually ingest, because stuff you put in your brain will come out when you don't want it, and I'm like, you know what? That's probably stuff I just shouldn't watch.
So. I love Stephen Root. Stephen Root, again, as Battle
Cringer.
Captain.
Yes. Oh, he was so great.
And I love him. When Battle Cat turns around and says, "Where's my stapler?" I thought that was just the best part.
Very good storytelling. And, there was people who really, people have brought up some good question. Like, you already know you have a King Grayskull, somebody who was king with the power. Why in the world did Randor have such a big deal that Adam had to choose between being king as Adam or being He-Man? He couldn't have it both ways. It's like, no, this has been done before, but it was an interesting term. But people have been like, why don't you let him be? Because the canon story was kind of developed when they had the Masters of the Universe Classics Mattel collection. They pulled from some of the ideas that were taken from the 2003 series, and they made what the actual canon is. And part of the real canon is King He-Man with Queen Teela, although she does become the sorceress. Right. So I guess that's why they got the idea that her a sorceress. They want her to be able to leave Grayskull so she can be queen with him. But you know, it was an interesting twist at the end to have the kingdom dispelled. And it's like, well, we're going to have elections now. I'm like, well, that's an interesting and different take. Sure, why not? We'll go with that. Why not?
But as far as Gates McFadden, I'll just be honest with you here and now in front of everybody. I had such a crush on her when I was a teenager. I just thought she was so beautiful as the Doctor.
Dr. Crusher.
And I had a girl I used to work with who looked and acted like her. But
oh, goodness.
The truth is, but she was Gates McFadden. I thought was beautiful and still is, incidentally.
Yeah.
A beautiful lady. But when I heard her voice, I knew who she was. I knew who that was. I was like, ah, she's still here. I love her. Yeah.
And did a really great job in there. I think the cast was amazing. The animation was amazing. The story was really good. And I think some people didn't stick around to the end of the credits because I saw somebody saying, how do we have Hordak? And there's no mention of She-Ra. Well, now I caught it when Skeletor is getting his memory slowly back. There was a shot mirrored from the Secret of the Sword filmation where you see Hordak as he's stealing Adora. That shot was in there. I was like, I looked at my wife. I looked at Heather. I says, there it was. That's him stealing Adora. She's going to show up eventually. And we did at the very end after the credits. We saw Adora. We didn't see her face, but that's Adora. And Hordak will be back.
I happen to know from the comic books and stuff, you know, it's Adora. And mm-hmm. I'm glad they're going to do it because don't get me wrong. And I'm not irritated at Netflix for it, but I tried to watch that She-Ra cartoon. I really did. I just couldn't get into it. It was not my cup of tea. Yeah. And I don't even like tea.
Well, there was some licensing issue, and DreamWorks was able to get the license for She-Ra, but not part of Masters of the Universe. So they did their own thing, and I do not consider that canon. That is not She-Ra.
Yeah, that's
they lost some of the major factors that makes her such an interesting, tragic character of being kidnapped away from her family. Yeah, like that.
And she was not trying to ruin anything for anyone, but she was kind of like, according to the comics that I've read and everything by the writers and all, she was kind of like brainwashed and believed that she was a Hordak individual and all that stuff. But she really believed all that. And so, I mean, I know that we're all getting into all this stuff, but it's true. That's the story. And it's kind of interesting. You get a lot of the kind of the She-Ra Superman thing going on there. At She-Ra, I'm going to say Supergirl, Superman. Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff's happened in those comics. I mean, let's be honest. He-Man and Superman have a lot in common. Yeah. That's the way they shared a lot of things. So, you know.
Yeah. Although He-Man has a lot more vulnerabilities. You know, he can be killed.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Superman too, but he can come back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But that's one of the things I think that kept He-Man in the filmation interesting, because he was the most powerful man in the universe, and he still had potential dangers that he could, if he falls, it could have killed him or whatever. You know, he still had regular style vulnerabilities. Now, of course, Superman, you know, no biggie. You know, he falls off a cliff like, oh, I'm sorry, did that hurt? Was that supposed to hurt? You know, so that's kind of what kept He-Man interesting, is that he did have the vulnerabilities. You could stab him, you know. So that's very kind of what made him more interesting, I think, in some ways to watch, because that threat that he could, you know, Superman, there's the threat of failure. And that's what made, I think, the Superman in the movie such good, is that he has that moment where he didn't get to Lois in time. And Christopher Reeve, that anguish, the echoing. Oh, my goodness. You have to find ways for Superman to fail or nearly fail, because that is his biggest weakness, is his heart. Like that.
Yeah, that's one reason why he plays a failure as Clark. I love that when he does that. That's why I don't care for some of the other versions of Clark, because they play him too almost the exact same. And I don't care for that much.
Clark, he should be different and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
But overall, yes, we definitely recommend this. If you were like, oh, I didn't like Revelation, so I wasn't going to watch Revolution, well, get over it and watch it, because I think you would like this one. Even if you didn't like Revelation, I think you would enjoy this. I mean, it didn't even get started off with a bang with going fighting with Scareglow. I mean, come on.
Yeah, oh, I love it.
And, and something I got to throw in. I popped on the Retro Rewind podcast to discuss the Master of the Universe movie and mentioned my love for Orko. And because it came up, there's some people who like, they just, oh, Orko, I just never liked Orko. He was just always annoying. I was kind of glad he wasn't in the movie.
I loved him.
On the video, they could see my mouth just drop open, and we had some fun with that. Well, Orko has come back to be awesome. So stuff it, dude. Orko was, he's come back and he's ruling.
In this, I love you get the Orko of the movie with Orko. Because Orko of the movie was Gwildor.
Yes, yes.
And then you get Gwildor and Orko together. And I love how they're fighting, and they even kind of mock each other. I love it. It's great.
Yeah. let's see. Did I need any of these facts off of this? I had some stuff from Collider, but I don't think I really needed any of it. I was thinking about talking about some of the production behind it, but we actually had some other stuff that happened this week, so I'm not going to get into the production of it, just to say that to watch it, because we had a massive big event that happened. I believe this was Friday. We lost Carl Weathers, and we love him despite the fact that he played for the Oakland Raiders Or I guess it was the Los Angeles. Yes. No, it was the Oakland Raiders at the time, I guess. Even though he was one of the Raiders, but we still love John Madden, even though he was a coach for the Raiders, and we're Kansas City Indians, and so we're not supposed to like the Raiders. But, I mean, he started out as a, and I was watching some video on him. He was more than just football. He was an outstanding athlete. I mean, even a gymnastics guy. Boxing, wrestling. I mean, he was just amazing. But got his degree in drama, and it really showed because he was a tremendous actor. I mean, he looked good, he sounded good, and he, oh my goodness.
Handsome man.
Yeah.
Boy. He was a handsome man, and he was honestly, there's something just charming about the way he spoke. He could speak in a way that if you listen to him talk, he could make you want, if he was to ever do it, I don't know if he ever did, I don't know, but if he was ever talked to you about joining the military, you'd be signing up by the end of the thing.
Yeah.
He was so good at it.
Charisma. I love
he did more than just Rocky.
Yes.
But when in Rocky IV, even though I think it was a really cheesy film in a lot of ways, in talking about the original one. Now I like the second one they did, but when it was Sylvester Stallone's idea.
Kind of recut it a little bit.
Yeah.
I like both versions. It made it a little less cheesy. I'll admit.
Me too. But whenever he's talking about that's not us up there anymore, you know, Rocky says, and he's talking about that we have to fight now more than ever, because he was talking about the Cold War. At the time, the Cold War was still going on.
Yeah.
And he was talking about all that, and whether you all want to believe it or not, Cold War's kind of going on again. But anyway, he was talking about that back then, and he was talking about why going out there and fighting was important, making a stand for America. And man, that was a red, white, and blue day back in the 1980s. And that was an important speech he makes about, he wasn't talking about the physical fight. He was talking about the fight of the heart.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really moving speech he said. I like that.
Yeah, we're always going to think of him as Apollo. And before I mention some of his other roles, I got to play Sylvester Stallone. I follow him on Instagram, so I saw this, but this has been making some rounds. Sylvester Stallone, of course, had to share from his heart. And so let me play what he said on his Instagram here. Oh, the audio is not. Hang on, let me.
I'm so torn up, I can't even tell you. I'm just trying to hold it in because Carl Weathers was such an integral part of my life, my success, everything about it. I give him incredible credit and kudos because when he walked into that room and I saw him for the first time, I saw greatness, but I didn't realize how great. I never could have accomplished what we did with Rocky without him. He was absolutely brilliant. His voice, his size, his power, his athletic ability, but more importantly, his heart, his soul. It's a horrible loss. And I'm standing here in front of this painting because it was probably the last moment we were ever in the ring together, and I'll never forget it. He was magic, and I was so fortunate to be part of his life. So, Apollo, keep punching.
And you can hear it. Okay, Instagram will keep playing it, but you can hear it in his voice. The heartache, and he is kind of holding it back. But behind him, of course, was the painting that was used in the credit shots there of Rocky III. Yeah. But of course, they were in the ring together one other time after that, because Rocky IV, of course, the next time they're in the ring is when Rocky is holding Apollo as he's dying. Wasn't quite the same, you know, of, you know, playing the roles of Rocky and Apollo and having that last, the rematch, which I think, in Rocky IV, don't they mention that, I think, Rocky still won or something, that Apollo did win that rematch. Okay.
You don't know about it until Creed, because it's Creed that he says, who won that match? And he says, your father did.
Oh, I thought they said something in Rocky IV about it. Okay.
Well, he says they both have black eyes in Rocky IV. They mentioned they both have black eyes. He said, who gave you the black eyes? The same friend. But it's not until Creed that we find out who won that match. And it was Apollo won it.
Nice. So that's a fitting tribute to the character, too, to have it that way. So,
yeah.
But of course, we know Carl Weathers from Apollo and, of course, Predator and Combat Predator. Carl in the Toy Story.
And Mandalorian, I think he made Mandalorian. Whenever I saw that he was going to be in it, now I don't mean this badly, but when I was a little kid, him, as far as African American actors or black actors, as I called him when I was a little kid, two of my favorites ever were Billy Dee Williams and him, Carl Weathers.
Yes.
And so when I saw that he was going to be Mandalorian, I was like, that's perfect for me. Because as a little kid, they were two of my favorites. And I just thought that was perfect. And I was, to me, that made it absolutely perfection.
Yeah.
And he was. So it's sad for me to know that he won't be back in that character, obviously.
Yeah, because we're getting that Mandalorian movie here now.
Yes.
And now we
hopefully they'll have a salute.
Yeah, because I mean, I'd say don't recast Greef Karga, because you're never going to replace Carl Weathers. Just don't have him have passed away, you know. But and it's a fitting end for Greef Karga, because he had a pretty good story arc where, you know, being kind of the scoundrel that he was, and then becoming the administrator and everybody looking up to him, governor, and he kind of organized, and he was governing that town and taking care of everybody.
Yeah, because.
Yeah,
because when he first came in there, he was somewhat of a villain.
A little bit. You didn't know which side he was going to fall on there.
You could say Grogu, in a sense, changed the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And it changed him.
Yeah.
That little character changed everybody, in a sense.
Yeah.
Love can do that.
Yep. Love does that. You know, and then you find out sometimes when you hold character to the fire, you finally figure out who they really are. When you hold something to the fire, because you burn off whatever is not really them, and you find out that he might have seemed like a bad guy, but underneath, no, he's really got a good heart inside there, and he's going to do the right thing, even though it might cost him. You know, that's why God puts us through the fire, because he's burning out, and you know, that character where he's trying to make us more like Jesus.
Bringing the gold out.
Bringing the gold out. Refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, my king. I think that song's called Refiner's Fire, isn't it? Yeah. Which I can't remember if that's pulled from a psalm, or I don't think it is, but it's an old praise song I remember singing back in the day. There's a long list of things like Wikipedia has about all the different roles. But we're definitely going to miss him and all the great roles. And also when next Mandalorian thing we see, which I don't think we get any more serious, but they are talking to make that movie, going to that movie and have him not here. We're going to feel his missing loss. Action. I never did see that. All of his other stuff.
Yeah. He was in Action Jackson. He was in a few other things. But yeah, Action Jackson, I saw that when I was younger. And I was like, Action Jackson. I remember the commercial.
Is that the word? Because I was watching a thing that had clips with him in a movie with Craig T. Nelson as the bad guy or something.
That was it.
That was it.
Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah. I ought to watch that one. That just seemed like that great cheesy 80s kind of thing going on with this. So I'm like, you know, I should probably watch it.
It was. But you know, he was who he was, and same with Craig T. Nelson. I got to be honest, I still love him.
Yeah,
even when he's the villain, he's so fun. You know, he's good
because he's Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, he's there, the coach.
he's coach. He's Mr. Incredible. I mean, come on.
He's Hayden Fox.
He's always going to be coach. Of course, I remember first thing I saw him in was Poltergeist. Yeah, exactly. He was the dad in Poltergeist.
Yeah. So yeah, he's great.
But Carl Weathers, thank you for entertaining us throughout your life. And we're still going to continue to be entertained for generations unless the world ends tomorrow. And
I got his action figure here on my wall.
As an Apollo. There you go. There you go.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. I love him.
Yeah, it says Weathers died in his home in Los Angeles February 1st at the age of 76. His family issued a statement saying he died peacefully in his sleep. And a long list of credits. Wow.
This may not sound like it's me showing salute to him, but I had yet to seen Creed 3. And so the day that he died, I watched Creed 3 as a strange salute to him in a way.
Yeah.
That was my way.
Yeah. Well, I hope he knew the Lord. And so when we get to heaven, we'll meet him and say, hey, thank you, Carl. You entertained us. And you gave us a great character where we'd like Apollo Creed. Like, of course, when I didn't see the first Rocky, I saw the first Rocky movie I saw was Rocky 3. So Apollo was the friend. I'm not used to him being, because even Apollo Creed wasn't really a villain. He was an antagonist. He was an opponent.
No.
But he was lovable. And he was Muhammad Ali. I mean, really, he was Muhammad Ali.
Based off of,
yeah.
And he was just a lovable dude.
Oh, yeah.
He was cocky.
Oh, yeah.
And in the second one, he was cocky and trying to bring on, he was frustrated. He was trying to make him mad. But even with that, you still had to love him and respect him, you know?
Yeah. Apollo Creed was just a character. He had a lot of depth. So, and it just made him great, you know, because, you know, we did get some boo-hiss villains in the Rocky series after a while, because, you know, even though, granted, we love Mr. T to death, but his character Clubber Lang in there, he's a boo-hiss character, but still love Mr. T outside of that character.
That's right.
I mean, loved him as that character, but he was so horrible. He was a mean person, Clubber Lang.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got a lot of boo-hiss villains that started showing up in the Rocky movies, but Apollo Creed was always that one where he was just an opponent, and we still kind of enjoyed that character. Yeah. And watching the battles, but so that's where we're going to wrap this up. As thank you, Carl Weathers, and I'm going to get back over to my list and make sure that I remind you. Oh, you know what? I didn't tell anybody to go to if you go to NoverlandPodcast.com, and I didn't even take a break for playing ads in here in the middle. So maybe we won't have any ads in the middle of this, other than, you know, on NeverlandPodcast.com, you'll find links for Podgagement. You'll find links for Dubby. If you go and you get some of their product, you're going to help me out. Podgagement, if you haven't have a podcast, so you can get all your reviews from around the world just sent to you, and a lot of other fun features. Daniel J. Lewis has really expanded and add a lot of new features. Dubby is some health drinks that you can get for some energy, so you can keep playing them video games without getting the jitters, because you don't want jitters when you're playing Call of Duty, right? So, also, we want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for helping me out with the intro to the show. Don't forget to email us, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. We're on Twitter at NeverlandPcast, Facebook, Neverland Podcast. There's both a group and a fan page. I'm trying to make sure when I post something in the group that I share it over to the regular fan page as well. That seems to be working out because you have to log in as a separate person as on the pages now, and it's stupid. I'd rather have just like, hey, I'm the administrator of that page. Let me just share to both. But whatever. And don't forget, you can join the Neverlanders on the website as well. Become an official Lost Boy or Pixie. Why a Pixie? Because girls are too clever if they don't get lost. And of course, don't forget, we do have the Patreon where you can donate. There's the links for Patreon on the website, patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. And also, if you look right there in the show notes for where you've downloaded this, over there, red circle, you can subscribe to the exclusive version of the podcast where I don't put ads into the episodes, because you will have ads in this episode. And Philip is showing me his figure that he's making of us up. But anyways, all right. So you know what we got to say at the end of every show? Get lost. In an adventure! We'll see you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.